Have you ever picked up a copy of the Book of Concord and been overwhelmed by it? There's a whole bunch of difficult names and documents and apologies and formula of concords and epitomes and solid declarations, and before you know it, you don't even know where you are in the book. Well, if you've had this question, you'll be interested in picking up the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, your reader's guide to the Book of Concord. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or learn more on the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Critical race theory is not a justice enterprise. It's just another oppression enterprise flipped on its head. In answering of one claim of injustice with another attempt at injustice to even the scales.
Separation of church and state, which is now ensconced in our Constitution, that's a very American idea, an Enlightenment idea. But it's not a Lutheran idea per se. The distinction is absolutely there.
My children will know and grandchildren will know that I subscribe to the Book of Concord. I'm confessing it with my whole heart. I will stand in front of Christ with what I believe, teach, and confess based on the Bible.
Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus. And the strength of our faith completely depends on the strength of the object of our faith.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Sadly, it is often treated like a reference book. It sits on the shelf until you absolutely need it, like a dictionary, or in the old days we would have said before Google, an encyclopedia. It's just a reference there for the pastor to, if he needs to answer a tough question, he'll open it up, he'll look up whatever he needs to find, and then he'll put it right back on the shelf. That, sadly, is how many Lutheran pastors treat the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, the confession that they swore at their ordination to not only believe, teach, and confess themselves, but to model their entire ministry after. That doesn't seem to be a sufficient way of handling the Lutheran Confessions to me. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, October the 15th, from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about reading the Book of Concord devotionally, studying it as a congregation. Pastor Mark Bestel will be our guest. We'll talk with Kendall Qualls of Take Charge about a group called the National Council of Family Relations, which sounds great, doesn't it? Well, they have coined a term, family privilege. It goes along with critical race theory. It's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line a little bit later, and then we'll round everything off on this Friday by playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. All you need to do is vote for one of the four soundbites we'll play for you. You can vote then by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or in advance, send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, vote via Twitter, @issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about reading the Book of Concord devotionally, Pastor Mark Bestel. He's pastor of Calvary Lutheran Church in Elgin, Illinois, and author of a column for the October edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Theological Mouthwash. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Todd. Appreciate it.
How has the Book of Concord become a devotional resource for you, second to the Bible?
Well, I guess a little bit of historical context. It probably dates back to ordination. When taking a vow to uphold Scripture and the confessions, that young pastor better make sure he considers the weight of that vow he's making. And so how can one subscribe to the confessions if he doesn't plan to retain or make use of them? And so making use of them in daily life became a very important thing for me. And so then coming into a congregation and assessing that at the time, most of its good, faithful folks nevertheless had pretty little familiarity with the confessions, I decided right away that working to teach the congregation the confessions would also help me stay sharp in it. And so after 14 years of doing that, I do individually take opportunity to privately retreat to my favorite portions of the Book of Concord, especially the Large Catechism. It's such a great section of the Book of Concord. But now that the congregation has a much better understanding of the Book of Concord's importance, I'm also able to dig into it and frequently refer to it in teaching Bible study, proclamation in the sermon, commentary on current topics. And I'd also say to your listener out there, remember, listener, not only do pastors subscribe to the confessions, But if you are a listener who belongs to an LCMS congregation, your congregation subscribes to the confessions. And so to help that congregation out, you better know the confessions to know if your congregation is upholding its life of steadfast faith and confession.
Where does one begin to study the Lutheran confessions?
Well, whether you realize it or not, you're beginning at a very young age. As your parents teach you the Apostles' Creed in daily baptismal life, and then on Sunday mornings as the congregation together recites the Nicene Creed, there you have two out of the three ecumenical creeds, the Athanasian being the other one. And remember that those are part of our Book of Concord, right? We include those ancient ecumenical creeds, and we say, yes, this is my faith as well. These are our confessions as well. In addition to that, of course, at a very young age, hopefully your parents are introducing you to the small catechism, Sunday school supplements that, the pastors supplement that, and they're introducing you in that small catechism to the heart of the Book of Concord. In fact, if you look at your copy of the Book of Concord, the small catechism even physically sits very near the middle of the book's layout. It really is in many ways the heart of our confession and teaching. So I always make a point of it to show my confirmands that they're studying a document that isn't merely for children, but it is for children in the sense that it's an introduction to a lifelong study of sound doctrine. Now, let's be honest. Often the newly confirmed think that they have mastered the small catechism, or even if in their heart they know they didn't master it, they have a sense of graduating from childhood things. And so rather than let them go their way in sort of a shell of knowledge easily forgotten, then I encourage, okay, fine, then move on to the large catechism. So start with the creeds in the small catechism, move on to the large catechism. Luther's wording is more colorful in the large catechism. That sometimes holds your attention, right? Such as when he talks about the idea that pastors who aren't doing their job should be pelted with dung. Colorful language, certainly, but as one studies the large catechism, you also learn to appreciate and then refer back to the depth of the small catechism. Honestly, once one studies the large catechism, you're hooked. And from there, from the small catechism and the large catechism, then you can move on to the other confessions, the small called articles. Again, Luther's words being so approachable, followed by the more difficult academic-sounding confessions, the Augsburg Confession and the Formula Concord. But remember that those aren't merely academic. Remember that it was the laity that presented the Augsburg Confession and were willing to give their heads and their lives for it. It was very personal to them, right? It was a very personal confession to them. And then the formula of Concord as well, the formula of, well, what does the word Concord mean? The formula of our life together. That's a very personal reality. These ought to be very personal confessions to us. So start with the small catechism and the large catechism, and that will, in a sense, that will get you hooked on studying the rest of the Book of Concord.
How does the study of the Lutheran confessions open up the study of Scripture?
I like to use the illustration of when you're in high school, and if you remember back to those years in high school when you had to read something that you didn't understand, like British literature. Nobody understands British literature the first time through. And so you always went to the bookstore, back when we had bookstores back then, and you always found it so helpful to read the Cliff Notes, that yellow and black covered short summary of the book. And the rushed for time student would end with the Cliff Notes, but the more studious student might springboard from the Cliff Notes back into the original text and then better enjoy reading the British literature that they didn't understand beforehand. In some ways, the Book of Concord is sort of like that Cliff Notes study of the Scriptures, which correctly teaches you how to understand what you're reading in the Bible, because, you know, how many there are who want to know the Bible, and they really, you know, they set out on a very noble goal of saying, I'm going to know the Bible, and so I'm going to read it Genesis through Revelation, but they sort of end up giving up somewhere in Numbers or Leviticus because it's just sort of foreign to them, and it's like reading British literature in many ways. And so because they don't understand what to look for in the Scriptures as of chief importance, they just sort of get frustrated and put it down. So the Book of Concord really opens up for the Christian a right understanding of Scripture, and it sort of frees the reader from all those bad teachings out there in American Christianity that are misapplying the Scriptures all over the place, and it allows you just to focus on what you know to be right, because that Cliff Notes version, if you will, has already taught you here's what to look for as you read the Scriptures.
You liken the study of the Lutheran confessions to good hygiene. What do you mean by that?
Well, I wish I could take credit for that. It's not really my phrase as much as certainly we know that St. Paul refers to the idea of sound doctrine. When writing to pastors Timothy and Titus, Paul describes right doctrine or sound doctrine as it's interpreted in the English. He uses a word in the Greek from which we get our word hygiene. This is a great image, right? This idea of hygiene doctrine. Think of hygiene in daily life. No one likes bad hygiene, whether it's body odor or stinky breath or whatever it is. It's of no advantage to you, and it's of no advantage to the people around you. In fact, they're sort of offended by it. It's the same with bad doctrine. No one benefits from stinky doctrine. If your doctrine stinks, you'll offend others and maybe harm others, and you'll definitely harm yourself. And so we should strive for the purity of doctrine. And think of how often the scriptures talk about the idea of having a clean conscience before God, right? Not this bad conscience, not this filthy conscience before God, but a clean conscience before God, which comes through the forgiveness of sins, that forgiveness of sins which is cherished and known rightly by holding on to Christ's words, to the sound doctrine, because that pure doctrine points us to Christ Jesus, the salvation that is ours in Him. But it also then gives us a clean conscience toward our neighbor, because the right doctrine regarding God's holy law, which is, you know, not to be used as a crutch toward trying to work toward your own salvation, but as that which had condemned us, now in Christ there's no more condemnation. Now with that clear conscience toward God, we then also see a clear conscience toward our neighbor. We live with faith in Him, fervent love toward one another. That's a clear conscience toward God and a clear conscience toward neighbor, because now I don't have to use my neighbor as a stepping stone for my own effort to save myself. Now I can love my neighbor for my neighbor's advantage, not for my own advantage. So sound doctrine, good hygiene doctrine, is our sure defense against stinky, wayward thought and practice. In fact, Luther says in his longer preface to the Large Catechism, he says that he who knows the Ten Commandments perfectly and rightly, he'd be able to judge not only spiritual matters, but all temporal affairs, right? That's a great reminder for us that doctrine is there for daily life as well. And the Lutheran confessions then are so instrumental in helping us echo, from which we get the word catechism, echo that sound doctrine, just like every morning and every night you repeat back the care of your teeth in brushing, flossing, mouthwash. Every morning you repeat or echo the good hygiene of the body, shower, deodorant, shaving. So also every day in the confessions, especially those so handy catechisms, the Christian can also then echo back the good hygiene of sound doctrine.
How can other parts of the Lutheran confessions help us mature in the Christian faith?
Well, so we do have these other parts that we don't know about. I've already mentioned a few times just how central the catechisms are for daily personal use. But we do have these other known, or these lesser known parts, perhaps the small called articles, which was Luther's personal confession when he thought he was dying in the mid-1530s. He ended up dying some 10 years later, but he didn't feel the need to update his confession because good, sound confession never needs to change. The Augsburg Confession can really help you dig into some of the issues that Lutherans rightly have against sort of the bad hygiene teaching that happens under the name of Rome, and really also under the Eastern Orthodox. The Augsburg Confession is helpful there. It's perhaps not a commonly known part of history that the Lutherans actually tried to appeal to Jeremias II. They thought, gee, maybe the Eastern Orthodox will help us out against Rome. And when they presented their confession to Jeremias II, the Eastern Orthodox bishop denounced their position of salvation by grace alone. So the Augsburg Confession really helps us grow up and learn, if you will, not just what I believe, but then also what I have to defend against. Same thing then also for the Formula of Concord. It helps sharpen one's skills, especially in our American context, because so much of what is around us is Protestant or Pietistic or Antinomian or Enthusiast or all of the above. And it wants to gut, for example, the customs of the church, some of the theology of the church. All of these issues are in some form addressed in the Formula of Concord. And so with some pastor-guided study, Lutherans can really come to appreciate just how relevant the Lutheran confessions are for our time, as they are always there because they simply echo the always relevant Word of God.
Pastor Mark Bestel is our guest. We're talking about reading the Book of Concord devotionally. Up next, how can a pastor teach the Lutheran confessions to his congregation? Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in-store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. October 15th through the 18th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org/warehouse, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Warehouse Sale, October 15th through the 18th.
Concordia University Chicago grounds students in objective truth, integrity, and excellence, and practices faithfulness to the confessional teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Dr. Eric Ankerberg, provost at CUC. Please consider joining our faculty community. We currently have openings for Dean of the College of Business and for Director of our new nursing program. And soon we will also begin a search for the new Dean of the College of Education. Learn more on the employment page at cuchicago.edu.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with Ransom, Blind Bartimaeus, Triumphal Entry, Fig Tree and Temple, and Have Faith in God. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Oh, magnificent. Knowing my children will know and grandchildren will know that I subscribe to the Book of Concord, fully knowing this passage and confessing it with my whole heart. I will stand in front of Christ with what I believe, teach, and confess based on the Bible.
That's back to the mistake of the guy who says, I can't go to a school board meeting because that would be left hand. Well, yeah, it's left hand, and you absolutely belong there because it's God's left hand, and you need to help the left hand be a better left hand. So that's absolutely your job.
Notice that we're not oppressing them personally. We're not keeping them from doing anything. But rather, it is the point of view that we have about their view and about their conduct that they consider oppressive. The definitions have changed.
Jesus is strong enough to save you. He's strong enough to forgive your sins. He's strong enough to bring you from death to life. He's strong enough to purify you and cleanse you and make you holy and pure and to bring you to himself in heaven. And your Jesus, who is strong to save, has said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to go for a swim.
In the last half hour of Issues Etc., I'm going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those 4 soundbites for you in their entirety, and your votes will decide which one will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, by sending us a tweet at issuesetc, or by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait and vote live by calling 1-877-623-MYIE. In the meantime, we're talking about reading the Book of Concord devotionally. Pastor Mark Bestel is our guest, author of a column for the October edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Theological Mouthwash. Pastor Bestel, how can a pastor teach the Lutheran confessions to his congregation?
First thing I would say is that I would urge the people of the congregation, especially your listeners, I would imagine that the majority of your listeners are not pastors, but are lay people. So I'd say to your listener out there, urge your pastor to teach it. You know, as Luther talks about regarding the Lord's Supper, he says, teach them until they pound down your door and demand the sacrament. In the same way, I would urge listeners out there, pound down your pastor's door and demand that he teach you the Book of Concord. Because unless a pastor is urged by the people, it's very easy to make the mistake of assuming they don't want to study such things, that it's too academic, it's not colorful enough, it's too heady, let's do something that will hold their attention. Just a little personal anecdote on that. After I'd been teaching our men's Book of Concord study here at Calvary, where I'm at, we have a men's Book of Concord study and a ladies' Book of Concord study. And I started the men's Book of Concord study first, and we had studied for about a year. And then I had men coming up to me saying, how come no one has ever taught us this? Right? They cherished it. They loved it. They enjoyed it. And then after that, I said, you know what? I'm going to start a ladies' Book of Concord study. And then about 12 months after starting that, the ladies were coming up saying, how come no one has ever taught us this? The people want to know this. And so first introduce the existence of the Book of Concord, right? A lot of Lutherans don't even know anything about it. Perhaps mention it a few times in sermons or apply it to something you're discussing in a Bible study, and then teach it as its own topic. I teach each group once every 3 Saturdays. We get through maybe 20 paragraphs every 90 minutes because there are so many opportunities to explain and dig deeper and make tangent application. And then after a number of years, it's going to take you a number of years if you follow my pattern of once every 3 weeks, which isn't a big time commitment for folks, but it's often enough to keep them invested in it. Then after you finish the book, again, probably 9 years or so, start over again because it's simply too rich a treasure to absorb and retain it all the first time. And so I've taught through the Book of Concord cover to cover probably 3 times now in addition to other periodic or private study. And every time you catch something you didn't catch before and you can apply it to the current situation of the congregation as you couldn't before, a particular phrase of richness that jumps out now in a particular context, you know, a different application because of the different historical context, people can go back and dip into this treasure constantly without ever tiring of it.
Martin Luther himself reminds us that God's teaching does not change, that he introduces nothing new. How can this provide us with daily comfort?
Well, I think the simple answer is that you never have to go out searching for the new novel teaching, right? Supposedly a new truth, a new fad, a new book. You never have to worry that someone out there has the inside scoop and I need to move on to something that is just only now being revealed in time and place. That's certainly not true regarding Christ's doctrine, and that's a very comforting thing. In fact, Martin Luther says in his large catechism when talking about this, he says, God himself is not ashamed to teach these things daily. He knows nothing better to teach. He always keeps teaching the same thing and does not take up anything new or different. All the saints know nothing better or different to learn and cannot finish learning this. That's very comforting to know that, you know what, I don't have to always be looking over my shoulder or looking out there and looking for something new. At the same time, I think it's also a little bit of an exhortation for us. Pastors might have these big, massive libraries, but how often do you read the books that really matter, right? People might always want to buy the next new book out there, but how often are you going back to the books that really matter? So, you know, God's word does not change, and so we need not think we're missing out on anything. And that's, again, exhortation for us. If God doesn't know anything better to teach, and so that passage I just read out of the longer preface, it goes on there and basically says, if God doesn't know anything to teach, then how prideful do we have to be to say, oh, I know this, now I'm going to move on to something else, right? So it's both comforting, I don't have to look for anything new, but there's also a little bit of an exhortation to our itching ears to say, just stay right where you're at. And just keep repeating the same sound doctrine, the same pattern of sound words, that same good hygiene, because neither God nor the whole company of heaven know anything better than to constantly study these words, constantly teach these words. The whole company of heaven is constantly singing the same hymn, right? Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. And so why would we go on to something new and novel? And so that's the exhortation I would give, but it's also the great comfort that we can just rest and abide in these words forever. What does Jesus say in John 8? Remain in my word, and you will be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Finally, for some Lutheran pastors, and sadly for their congregations, the Lutheran Confessions are a seldom, if ever, used reference book, sits on the shelf. What's the danger in this?
You're right. It is a sad thing. As a funny game, I'd almost encourage listeners, go in and ask your pastor to open his Book of Concord, and if it creaks like he's never opened it before, then encourage him to start a Book of Concord study. But you're right. Sadly, it's not a funny issue. It's a sad issue, that because pastors don't, congregations sometimes don't. And in short, the danger in all of it is what we talked about before, this idea of stinky doctrine that leads to stinky practice, because doctrine will affect daily life, right? Doctrine should be pure to deal with the life that is messy. And when pure doctrine and messy life collide, the doctrine then can make the life pure. Therefore, doctrine is life. But what happens when you have bad doctrine? What happens when you have bad doctrine to confront, or stinky doctrine to confront the messiness of life? You're not going to have any good solution come out of that. So in the same way that brushing your teeth helps, not brushing your teeth would lead to bad breath. But it goes beyond that. It leads to your teeth rotting and falling out. And science now says, gee, looking at the mouth can tell you how healthy the rest of the body is. Bad hygiene doctrine leads to pastors and their congregations drifting away. That's the exhortation in Hebrews chapter 2, when the author says at the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 2, he says, you know, therefore let us hold fast to this, and let us be ever more eager to hear the word of God, lest we drift away. And when you drift away, you don't recognize how gradually you are drifting away, you are moving away from the things of God, from the pure doctrine of Christ, and into heterodox theologies like where I'm at up here in northern Illinois. Willow Creek is real big up here, right? And you see congregations perhaps tempted to drift into that, or American Evangelicalism, or Rome, or the Eastern Orthodox, or whatever, or even, sadly, heresy, some of the New Age cults out there, and the New Age, you know, power of positive thinking type stuff. So we need to hold fast and guard that sound doctrine entrusted to us, not only for the next generation's benefit and handing it down to them, but we also ought never be so secure in the strength of our faith that we don't think we need to keep on learning. Therefore, what joy and what beauty and what a treasure we have in the Lutheran Confession to help us hold fast, as Luther's hymn rightly says, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Pastor Mark Bestel is pastor of Calvary Lutheran Church in Elgin, Illinois. He's author of a column for the October edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Theological Mouthwash. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online for an annual subscription of less than $20. Find out more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, lcms.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040. Mark, thanks.
Thanks for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
When we return, we'll talk about a group called the National Council on Family Relations and a term that they have coined, family privilege, with Kendall Qualls of Take Charge.
Have you ever been overwhelmed by everything that's in the Book of Concord, all the names and documents and the historical context? Well, in 2006, Concordia Publishing House, through the work of the Reverend Paul McCain, published the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord, a fantastic guide for anyone interested in digging more into Lutheran theology. The Lutheran Witness for the October issue is all about helping you get into this resource. To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Sylvan Grove, Kansas; Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool, Marinette, Wisconsin; Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon; Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York; Mount Zion Lutheran, Castle Rock, Colorado; Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California; St. Athanasius Lutheran, Fairfax, Virginia; St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Arapahoe, Nebraska; and Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.